Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His Word. Blessings.
I'm drawing your attention this morning to the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 5, and we'll begin reading with verse 11. I normally use the New King James translation, but today I'm using the New American Standard, which is very, very similar. But I selected that because of a few choice words. And so we're looking today, God's Word, Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 11, and we'll read down to the first verse of chapter 6. Concerning Him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. And so this message today that the Lord has laid on my heart is all about Christian growth, and it is imperative that we as believers become growing Christians, that we grow spiritually. The only alternative to that is atrophy and stagnation, a body of water with no inflow and no outflow becomes stagnant and lifeless. I remember hearing of a man who stood up one Sunday evening in church to give a testimony, and he proclaimed to the congregation, he said, 50 years ago, God filled my cup to the brim, and since that time, not a drop has gone out. Folks, that to me speaks of stagnation. How does that line up with David's testimony where David said, my cup overflows? To have an overflowing cup, there has to be a continuous flow. God flows into us. It spills out. And then He fills us again and it overflows. But here's the bottom line today. There's no point at which we can say, I've arrived, and there's no room for me to grow. Same thing with prayer. No one can ever say, you know, God has been speaking to me about my prayer life, and He's convicting me about my prayer life, and He's telling me to cut back. I'm praying too much. No, we pray without ceasing. Part of being a growing Christian, that's one of the first steps. You learn how to pray. You learn how to depend upon God in prayer continuously. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. What I want you to see here in this passage that I've chosen to speak from this morning in Hebrews, and we don't know who the author of Hebrews is. I've always believed that it's the Apostle Paul, but you can't prove that one way or another. But here, the writer of Hebrews uses the imagery of an infant needing milk. He's addressing this word to Christian believers who were stuck in spiritual infancy. They were unable to receive, to take in solid food. Now, obviously, I'm not an expert in pediatrics. I'm not a child expert. But what I've learned from observation is that when babies are born, the normal birth weight is, say, from 6 to 9 pounds. A lot of times it's 6.5 to 8.5 pounds. It might be a little bit less. It might be a little bit more. But that's pretty much the normal range for an infant. But I was thinking about a time when I was living in Vienna. For 16 straight years, we took a busload of teens to Myrtle Beach. And we had a revival time there, and you know, youth ministry. But we also had time where we could do other things. I remember Jamie and I went into the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum. And I just about fell over when I saw a replica of the world's largest baby. Born in Italy in 1955, weighing 22 pounds. Almost 23 pounds. Can any of you ladies imagine having a baby? Well, you have to think about that. Don't make any comments right now. But here's the point I want to make. Whether a newborn infant is premature and has a light birth weight, or the infant is larger, the idea is that with proper nutrition and nourishing that infant, that child will grow. It will move from infancy to childhood, to adolescence, and into adulthood. And that's the way that it should be with us spiritually. I found out something really interesting in the insect world. This was fascinating to me. When a wasp is first hatched out of its nest, it's bigger at that point than it will ever be. The moment it is hatched out of its nest, it begins to shrink in size. God forbid that when a person is born of God, born of the Spirit, that's as big as that person ever gets, and from that moment on, that person would begin to shrink in size. It's not supposed to be like that. And maybe that's why so many have become shipwrecked in their faith. When God saved them, they didn't get on the growth path, the discipleship path. And then they begin to shrink back. The devil comes along and steals the seed and does the work that he likes to do to keep people from growing spiritually. It's not just with individuals, but it's with the church. You know, I was thinking about the church of Ephesus. When you look at all the churches in the New Testament, the church of Ephesus was the most healthy of all the churches. And the church began, if you read the 19th chapter of Acts, the church began with a tremendous revival. Paul came into the city of Ephesus, and there was a massive revival. There were extraordinary miracles. People were getting saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. It was tremendous as the church began. But then, 40 years later, when in the Revelation, Jesus is speaking to the seven churches, he speaks to the church of Ephesus. And apparently they had stopped growing. They started shrinking. And on the surface, and here's the thing about church today in the modern world. On the surface, things can look great. The modern church is all about buildings and programs and making people feel good and comfortable. And when you look at the church of Ephesus, on the surface, it was still a well-oiled machine. The problem was that they didn't have the oil of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus spoke to that church that had such a glorious beginning. And he said, you need to repent and get back on the growth track. And if you don't, I'm just going to remove my presence altogether. What a tragedy that would be. Someone once said, if God were to just remove His Holy Spirit from the modern church, most of what churches do would just go on as if nothing had happened. Just like all the machinery of the church. And it wasn't just the church of Ephesus, but remember the church at Corinth. Paul the Apostle spoke to that church and he said to them, listen, he said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as to babes, infants. And then you read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and you see all of the childish, childlike behavior that was taking place because the people weren't growing. They were stuck in spiritual infancy. And so, before I talk about three necessary parts of growth to help us to grow spiritually, I want to identify right here from this passage in Hebrews four problems that hinder spiritual growth. Problem number one, dullness. Dullness, as in dullness of hearing. Do any of you men have a problem with dullness of hearing when your wife is speaking? Oh, that's another sermon. I'm not going to get into that. Look at verse 11. Verse 11. We have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. The problem is never with speaking. God is speaking all the time. The problem is always with hearing. And here's the thing. Please understand. I'm talking about spiritual growth today in this sermon. Please understand this. We have to hear God to be able to obey God. And if you don't hear God, if you're dull in your hearing and you don't hear God, then you're not going to obey God. And if you don't hear and obey God, then you're not going to be growing and you're going to just be stuck in a place of spiritual infancy, because God is speaking to us. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus said this. Are you a disciple today? Are you a true disciple of Jesus? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. That's the path of growth. Hearing, obeying, following. Let me move on. Since I have, maybe you'll tell me the opposite, not the short sermon, but hey, Pastor, cut one of those out next week. Here's another D word that poses a problem for spiritual growth. Dependency. Verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. Now, I know some of you sitting right here, you're retired from the teaching profession. Maybe you're still teaching. And here's the thing. If you have a student in your class, you're a teacher, you have a student, you don't want that student to become totally dependent upon you. You don't want that student coming back the next year for the same grade. The goal is for your student to advance, to move on to a higher level. And that's what the writer of Hebrews here is saying to believers, and he's saying to us. He's saying by this time you should have graduated. You should be teachers. But you still have a need to be taught. And not only that, but he says you have to be taught the basics, the elementary principles over and over again. You got to be taught about these basic things. There's no growth. Okay, so you have dullness, that's a problem. Dependency, that's a problem. And then diet, okay? Number three, diet. Verse 12. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. When an infant is born, that infant depends upon his mother's milk. The mother takes in solid food, and that food is digested and becomes milk for the child. I call it homogenized milk. Might have to think about that one. But they're believers, and maybe you're one of them. You got to have just somebody give you pre-digested food. You're not taking in for yourself. You're just depending on others. Your diet is consisting of having someone else feed you all the time. Do you know that I was thinking about this? If you take a nest with some baby birds before their eyes are open, they go strictly by motion. You could go up to a nest of baby birds, you could take your finger and start moving around, and those birds don't know the difference between your finger and their mama. And they just throw their heads back, open up, feed me, drop it in. And it's okay to be fed. I was telling Andy, he's doing these devotionals, and I told him, I said, I need, and I joined the prayer reading. By the way, I want to encourage you to get on the we're doing the daily scripture reading. And it only takes 10 minutes of your time unless you spend a lot of time meditating on it, but you can read the passage, and I need that too. And I was telling Andy, you know, the devotional, that spoke to me. So we all need to be fed, but at some point, we have to start exercising spiritual disciplines, learning how to pray, consistent Bible reading, fellowshipping with other Christians, being accountable, serving. That's one of the best ways to start growing. Even if you feel inadequate, we all start there. I wish you could have heard my first sermon, the first time I preached. I wish I had that on tape. I thought, man, this is way too long. I'm going to be preaching for 50 minutes. And I preached for maybe a total of 6 minutes. And my knees were knocking and shaking. And, you know, but we all need to be fed. Okay, I need to move on. This sermon might be a little bit longer than normal. Problem number four, discernment. Verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained, just like a muscle that you exercise. Discernment. has to be practiced. It has to be developed. Who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Do you know the thing I found? The thing about toddlers, you know, toddlers, they'll reach for anything. They'll touch something that's hot. They'll try to pull something off the table that could be harmful to them. They'll crawl around on a nasty floor and pick up a bug and see what it tastes like, and they'll eat the bug. Because there's no discernment. How many Christian believers are lacking discernment? Oh, I'll tell you what. I think many, many Christians are so gullible. They'll just swallow anything. Anything. And you... Social, let me just give you a word of warning, especially what we're facing and going to be facing in the future. You look on social media, and now with the advent of AI and all this, I just want to tell you, you need to have discernment. You're going to have discernment in the days to come. There's going to be so much deception. Jesus talked about all of these deceptive things that would happen. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, it says in 1 John 4:1. But test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So, what is the goal today? Why am I preaching this? The goal is unity and maturity. Ephesians 4:13. Here's the goal. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. We're to grow, to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The Bible says we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's what it's all about. And so I want to take a few moments to talk about the path to spiritual growth. Three things here. The path to spiritual growth. Number one, spiritual growth begins with transformation. Let's just go back to the very beginning. Jesus said, you must be born again. He didn't say you must join any particular church. You must do these religious activities. You must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so here's the thing I want you to understand. Maybe there's someone, maybe you're here today, and this is your day to cross over the line, to be saved. But here's the thing that you need to understand. You do not grow into becoming a Christian. You don't just say, well, I don't really remember. I just think of last few years, No, there's a point in time. There's a point in time on this side of the line. You're lost. You're on your way to hell. That's your destiny on this side of it. And then in a moment's time, you're on this side. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. On this side, you do not have Jesus in your heart. But then on this side, you do have Jesus. On this side, you don't have the Holy Spirit. On this side, you do. There is a moment in time when you are born again. Now, I don't know a whole lot about adoption. I mean, if you want to know about adoption, ask Adam or someone who... Maybe you've been adopted. Maybe you have adopted a child. But, and if I'm wrong, correct me after this message is over. But in adoption, at some point, there's some type of official act that makes it legal. Where, yeah, this is finished now. You're my adopted child. And here's what the world doesn't understand. You know, you hear people say, we're all God's children. No, we're all creations of God. Every person is created in the image of God. There's a need. There's a vacuum in the heart that only God can fill. Yes, we're all creations of God. But you have to become a child of God. And you become a child of God when that moment in time comes and you say yes to Jesus. You repent. You say, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God has raised Christ from the dead and you will be saved. But that's a choice. That's a decision. The Holy Spirit draws you to that place. God opens up your heart to where you could have this transformation, this born again experience. Now, that's when you start walking the path of discipleship and you start growing. Here's the second thing on the path. Spiritual growth takes time. We're not talking here about running the 100-yard dash. You don't become instantly mature. Some people mature quicker than others. But it takes time. Sometimes I think we're a little bit too hard on newborn Christians. We kind of expect them to understand all the terminology we use and as if they're supposed to know. I'm so thankful that when the experience I just described to you, that moment of transformation, when that happened to me, I mean, I don't want to go all the way into my testimony, but those people in that church, in my home church, they loved me. Everybody knew what a troubled person I was. Here, I just walked out, and, you know, I had hair. It's hard to imagine me like that right now because now I don't hardly have any hair anymore. But I had hair all down, you know, long hair. I was basically a hippie, and I marched on. I had some cut off t-shirt. I looked like a total slob. and I wouldn't just sit in the back. I had to walk down and sit in the front. But man, I was saved. I had more joy and those people loved me. I had to start from scratch. And so it takes time as we instill spiritual disciplines into our lives. And that's why I encourage steady Bible reading. Get into God's Word. Learn how to pray. Get involved. Serve. Fellowship with others. People that will love you and not condemn you and encourage you along your journey, along the path. And I want to tell you something right now. I'll tell you, the younger generation, you know, I think the younger generation, they want something that's real. They want something that's authentic. And just going through the motions in church, it's not going to cut it. And let me move on here. Number three. Well, I do want to say this. You know, the thing about time. How many of you have a garden? You ever do any gardening? You know, you put a seed in there. You don't expect instant. You put the seed in there, you water it, you nurture it, and it grows. That's what we need to do. And it takes time for that to happen. Here's number three. Spiritual growth and maturity requires testing. Now, I want to tell you something right now. Here's the way life goes. There are a lot of things that can happen in life you have no control over. God didn't send it to you. You didn't cause it. There are just things that happen. Some trials, some testing. But God can bring good out of everything, can He not? God causes all things to work together for good. But hear me today, and I really believe this. I know this to be true in my own life. God will give you a tailor-made test. He'll send a test to you. Just for you, because He loves you that much. And through that test is there for you to grow. You're being tested so that you'll take that next step of of growth and maturity in your life. If you don't allow God to work in that way, you're never going to grow. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Something good happens. There's growth, endurance, perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature. See, that's the goal. So that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I want to give you, to close out this message today, if you just hang with me for another 5 minutes or so, I want to give you a great illustration of exactly what I'm talking about in spiritual growth. And I want to use the Apostle John. He wrote the epistle of 1 John. He received the revelation of Jesus on the island of Patmos. And we refer to John as the Apostle of Love. John became a spiritual father. Sometime when you get a chance, I don't want to take time to read these verses, but 1 John 2, 12 through 14, John says, he uses these terms, and it's like a stages of growth. I'm writing to you, children. I'm writing to you, young people, young men, young people. I'm writing to you, fathers. So you have these stages. And the Apostle John became a spiritual father. But it didn't just happen. And I want you to understand who John was before all of this happened. John was explosive in his temperament. He was one of the sons of thunder, John and James. John was all about self-promotion for a while. He went to Jesus and he wanted to sit beside Jesus in his kingdom. John had prejudice in his life. He wanted to call down fire upon the Samaritans. And John was intolerant. One day he saw some people that were ministering that weren't of their group, and so he said he wanted Jesus to rebuke them. Lord, they're not of us. Rebuke them. Stop them. They're not part of our denomination. They're not part of our church. Stop them. And so you see all these things happening in John's life. But here's the, and then I'm going to close in prayer. Here's the bottom line right here. John grew from he started off like we all do. He started off as a spiritual child, and he grew to become a spiritual father. And God is no respecter of persons. What God did for John and Peter and Paul and others, he can do for us. So here's my benediction verse. 2 Peter 3:18. Here's my admonition to you if you're a Christian believer today. Grow. Grow. That's the word. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I want our Dave to come and play softly for us, or musicians to come and lead us in a final song here in a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed, because maybe you're here today and you haven't even begun the spiritual journey. You haven't had that experience that I'm talking about. A life-changing commitment to Jesus Christ. Not where you know, sometimes I hear people say, Pastor, if I just need to get this straightened out in my life, and if I just clean up this. No, you come just as you are. You come. You don't have to jump through any religious hoops. It's all about surrender. And you just come and you say, I'm at that point. I want I want God in my heart. I want Jesus in my heart. I want hope. I want eternal life. And I turn it over to the Lord, and I invite Him into my heart. You could do that today. Don't do it for me. I'm just a messenger. I'm just trying to give you food that I've digested. That's all I can do. Only the Holy Spirit can draw you to that place. Only the Holy Spirit can open your heart and your mind and your life. So if you're there today and you want to start this spiritual journey, I invite you to come. If you're a Christian and you're just stuck, you're not growing, and yes, in your heart you love the Lord and you want to be pleasing to God, but you're just stuck. You're in a rut. Then just come. Come and make that dedication to Him. You can do it right where you're sitting today. But let us all determine that we're going to just keep drawing near to God as He draws near to us. We're going to keep on taking one step at a time, seeking to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.